Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. What do you insult?
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the news, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is John Fricke for John Chuckery, live from the Northern Kia Studios on a Friday night with you until 11 o'clock hours. We are going to talk, you and I. So now crack open a beverage and belly up to the bar here and give me a call at 404-726-0929 because we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about tonight since you're not able to watch the Braves game. Not that so far you want to watch the Braves game because the Braves have struck out six times in the first two innings. They actually struck out four times. No, they've struck out seven times in the first two innings. Yeah, because they struck out three times in the first and four. Yeah, they struck out four times in the second because Marcelo Zuna struck out and got the first on a wild pitch. Okay, seven strikeouts in two innings, and they're down 1-0 to Tampa. So we got plenty to talk about. We will certainly talk about the Braves if you like here. Got a lot to still chatter about with the Atlanta Hawks, and DeShone Tate, who is our Hawks expert, is going to join us a little bit later in this hour. And we're going to get to hear from him about what he thinks about this Murray deal and if the Hawks are actually going to be making any sort of move here. Trey was a little kind of profane a little bit in a tweet today where he said how excited he was about this season. I'll spare you the profanity part of it, but he's apparently very excited about this coming season. I wish I could say the same, but as long as they are, and DeJounte's talking about how excited he is to be part of this team, as long as they are, then all right, maybe I'm good. You know, I mean, maybe they know something I don't know. Maybe they know that it's going to be something where, you know, they're able to have this guard combination thing work, and about John Collins, because we can talk about subtraction and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It seems though the other teams are making moves though, right? Golden State made another move. They went out and got Chris Paul. It was a multiplayer deal with Washington. They got Chris Paul. And you know, when Chris Paul was traded, everybody said, he's not going to stay on Washington. Well, he ends up on Golden State. And so yet another guard going out to Golden State. And Washington gets Patrick Baldwin, Jordan Poole, who won't have to worry about getting slugged anymore. Ryan Rollins, a second-round pick, and a first-round pick way down the road in 2030. So other teams have been making moves and making trades. I still think the Hawks might have something up their sleeve. I still do believe that they might. I can't be 100% certain about that. Maybe they're just done everybody seems to be saying, you know, they have 18 players under contract and only 13 spots. I'm like, okay, I'm not really sure what that means. It doesn't mean they can't make a trade. Doesn't mean they can't trade 4 for 1. And I don't know what you're talking about. So what? Yeah, because I got that last night. John, you realize the Hawks have 18 players under contract and they only have 13 spots. I'm like, okay. All right. I'm sure they got more than that if you include two ways, right? I'm not really sure I understand what the point of that is. If they are going to make a trade, it's probably going to be something like this, where Golden State sent one player in Patrick Baldwin, another in Jordan Poole, another in Ryan Rollins. That's three, a second-round pick and a first-round pick for one guy. Because we talked about that. If you're going to make a trade, it's probably going to be, you know, three players and a pick or two for one guy. That's the way these things kind of work. So are they in the Siakam business? I don't know. You know, the other thing I got was, you know, Pascal Siakam has said he wants to stay in Toronto. Of course he says he wants to stay in Toronto. What's he supposed to say? I don't want to I want to leave. You know, I mean, and then he's stuck there, and then everybody hates him. This is the problem that Dame is having right now, is that Dame said, you know what, I think I want to leave. Matter of fact, trade me. Now, and they can't get a deal done. And Dame has pretty much said, yeah, I really want to go to Miami. I mean, he originally, I think, said he only wanted to go to Miami, which really put the Blazers in a pickle because the Heat said, oh, really? Okay, well, then we don't have to offer you quite so much. We'll offer you this. And the Blazers said, no. And so he has to open that up a little bit. I mean, he could go back to Portland and have a news conference, I guess, or speak to the fans in some way and say, you know, gee, you know, my bad, sorry, you know. But I don't know how you get past, no matter how big a star you are, telling the fans of your town that you don't want to be there. That's a pretty big bridge to mend. I mean, that's you. Ronald Acuna were to step out here and say, you know what, I'm done. I don't want to play in Atlanta anymore. I'd be like, oh, okay. I mean, you know, I mean, any star, you pick any star. I mean, Trey says that. Trey says, you know, I don't want to play in Atlanta anymore. I'd be like, okay, trade the guy. And then he doesn't get traded. You're like, wait a second now. You don't want to be here. What do I trust that you're going to give you, you know, 100% here? How committed are you to this? How do I know you're not going to Brett Favre me? And, you know, I don't know. It seems weird here. So I don't know what's going to happen with Dame. There's all that going on. And, of course, the very latest on the Atlanta Hawks, we'll get that from, again, our Hawks expert, Deshaun Tate, coming up a little bit later in this hour. There's also news about NFL free agents today that we can get into a little bit later in the show. But just let me kind of set the table for you on this. There's, as we look at Dame, for example, and trying to figure out if anybody's going to make a trade for him, the same is true of a couple of free agents, well, a number of free agents, because this list of NFL free agents is mind-blowing, if you think about it. Now, some of these guys are older, I get it, especially guys like Justin Houston is really old. But when Dalvin Cook hasn't signed for a team, I mean, we're talking, again, we're 2 weeks to 3 weeks away from the beginning of camp. I mean, it's not too late. Obviously, you can get a guy in for camp, and they're pros, and they're going to figure it out, especially if they play, you know, positions like running back and wide receiver. It's route trees, and, you know, it's not that hard to learn. I get it. But at the same time, it's like, okay, these guys are still out there because Dalvin Cook is still out there, and nobody's made the big move. Everybody says, oh, the Jets are going to take him. Well, it hadn't happened. And DeAndre Hopkins is still out there. Day-Day, you're an NFL fan. You like the league, correct?
Correct.
So if I told you that 2 to 3 weeks out from the start of camps, that these names are still available to you as free agents, ready? Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins, Ezekiel Elliott, Marcus Peters, Yannick Ngakoue, Jadeveon Clowney, Isaiah Wynn, Taylor Lewan, Jarvis Landry, Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, Justin Houston, Anthony Barr, Kyle Van Noy, Carson Wentz, and Teddy Bridgewater. Holy smokes.
Yeah, something's up.
Something's up. I mean, here, you know, I look at this list and I don't have any need for Justin Houston at his age, but would I take Jadeveon Clowney on this team? Oh, yeah. Would I take Yannick Ngakoue in a heartbeat? In a heartbeat. Would I take Isaiah Wynn? Uh-huh. Taylor Lewan didn't want to play here. I think he's, you know, kind of made that clear. But you know, he only wants to play in certain, he wants to play for a, I love this, the ones like out there going, I want to play for a Super Bowl team and a contender. I'm like, dude, are you not paying attention to what we got down here? And don't you have a tie to the dude that's our head coach? I mean, you kind of know him, don't you? All right, whatever. But there's some guys out there that, now I have no use of Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, I'd love to have DeAndre Hopkins, but not at that price. I'd like to have Dalvin Cook, but we don't really need him, right? I mean, we got plenty of running backs. Dalvin's a great player, but we got Bijan, and we got Tyler, we got Cordero. I mean, I think we're okay. I don't need Kareem Hunt. Don't need Leonard Fournette. Jarvis Landry? You know what? Yeah, I'd explore that. Isaiah Wynn? Yes. Jadeveon Clowney, yes. Yannick Ngakoue, yes. Marcus Peters, of course, just because even with Jeff Okuda and A.J. Terrell, you could never have enough studs, and Marcus Peters is a great cornerback. So there's five or six guys that I have no use, obviously, for Carson Wentz or Teddy Bridgewater. And I look at guys like Kyle Van Noy and Anthony Barr and Justin Houston, and I think, oh, those guys have a lot of mileage on them. You know, I mean, so... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, those guys have gotten up there, and, you know, all it takes is, remember, in the NFL, all it takes is half a step. Because if you're a half a step, and, you know, that's just, suddenly you become Tack McKinley. If Tack McKinley had another half step to him, he would have been a terror. He would have been a freak show. I mean, because he was big, he's strong, he could get off blocks. He just couldn't quite, he used to, when he was here with the Falcons, he used to say on his Twitter, a man who almost gets sacks, because he was almost there, because he lacked that last half step. And if he had gotten there, this is the guy that would have had 15, 16, 18 sacks in a season. As it was, I think at one time, he led the NFL in pressures. Oh, he leads the league in quarterback pressures, as if that matters. I mean, I guess it's not a bad thing to lead the league in, but when it comes down to statistics, it doesn't get you paid. They don't pay for pressures. They pay for you getting the quarterback on the ground. Now, you want to have the quarterback move off his spot, and that's a good thing, but you still got to tackle him. I mean, that's the whole point of it. So when you have guys who have big names, that's great, but when they've lost that half step because of age and injury and everything else, then they become kind of useless and pointless. And we've seen that around here where we've gotten guys who were kind of like over the hill. Look, Todd Gurley was sort of over the hill by the time he came here. He was banged up and just didn't have it. There was a time where Todd Gurley was best running back in the NFL. Local hero, all that kind of stuff, he comes here and it was like, whoa, dude. All right, I think you might want to retire there, Todd. So this list, though, is really impressive when you consider the number of names here that are still available on the market, and we are knocking on the door of training camps opening up, and nobody seems to be in all that big a hurry to go get them. Now, guys like Ngakoue and Clowney and Wynn, those kind of players, even Landry, and Zeke Elliott, they may be asking for too much money. That may be true. And so that's why they're kind of still floating around.
That's what I was going to say. You know? Some of those guys, I think the winds are turning, and I think a lot of teams are starting to take more of a stance when it comes to, not trying to meet these guys' demands just because they're so good. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's just, and this is not collusion, obviously, because collusion would be aimed at, you know, maybe one guy or two guys. I mean,
right.
We're talking about 10 or 12 or 15, and the list goes on after this. It's not collusion. It's just, I think, kind of financial reality.
Yeah.
And so some of these guys, like, I don't know if you have to sit down with Ngakoue and say, look, Yannick, you're going to have to take a one-year prove-it deal. And he's going to, I'm not taking a one-year prove-it deal for $8 million. Well, you're going to have to. No, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because nobody's going to offer you a multi-year deal. Not at the rate you're asking. They'll offer you 2 years for $15 million. I'm not taking 2 years for $15 million. I'm a $15 to $18 million a year player. I'm a $30 million, whatever it is, in your mind. That may be in your mind. Guess what? I don't know how late you have to have this happen before a camp starts and you get a late jump on all this stuff before you realize that's not going to happen. And so I don't really know what these agents are thinking out there. You know, because if you're Jadeveon Clowney, what's Jadeveon, legitimately, if I'm the Falcons, I'm talking to Jadeveon's agent, and I'm saying, okay, we'll give you a one-year deal for $5 million. And his agent is laughing at me, and I'm thinking, all right, see if you can find that somewhere else. I'm dead serious. See if you can find that somewhere else, because you may not find that somewhere else. And the kind of the rude awakening that these guys have is that, you know, their value is diminished. I just think this is something we can talk about a little bit later on. I think it really is kind of interesting. This Braves team, even though they're not winning at the moment, and you're not being able to see it because 90% of the Braves audience probably isn't watching the game because it's on Apple TV. I've got it here at the Northern Kia Studios, so I can tell you. But they're still the most fun team I think I've ever seen in Atlanta sports so far to this season. I don't think I've ever had more fun. I'll go down the list of some of the fun teams here, and it's something I want to talk about with you tonight as well. Coming up at 7:40, Deshaun Tate on the very latest with the Atlanta Hawks. All right, all ahead with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It is a Friday night leading to the weekend here. On this weekend, we will have Atlanta United soccer for you as they try and build on that 2-0 win over Philadelphia Union. Atlanta United against Montreal, the Montreal Impact, live from Canada, AO from Quebec. And that will be tomorrow starting at 7 as Jason Longshore and, of course, the voice of Atlanta United, Mike Connie, bring you all the action of the Five Stripes from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. In the meantime, I do want to let you know, too, there's an Atlanta United watch party that's now been set for coming up here on July 12th, this coming Wednesday. You can join John Chuckery as they cheer on Atlanta United against the New England Revolution. It is Wednesday, beginning at 7 o'clock, at Hampton and Hudson on Highland Avenue. Specials on Bud Light, Register to win a signed Atlanta United jersey or tickets to a future match. It is sponsored by Bud Light. Must be 21 and over. Please drink responsibly. And that will be next Wednesday, 7 p.m. at Hampton and Hudson on Highland Avenue. I know the Highland. I know the Highland Pub Crawl. Made it many a time in my life. There were plenty of times, Day Day. When I say Highland Pub Crawl, I mean it was a
real crawl at the end.
you'd start at Ponce Highland. You'd be down there at Manuals, and you'd like crawl up toward Atkins Park, and then toward Virginia Island. I mean, you'd end up at like Taco Mac at 1 a.m. going, oh, all right, fine,
right? just give me whatever.
It is John Fricke for John Chuckery. I was just watching a little bit of this game, thinking, you know, oh, it's Apple TV because it's this baseball Friday night thing that Apple has, which is infuriating in a lot of ways. I know. But it's also dome baseball. I hate dome baseball. I don't like artificial turf baseball. It's just, I don't like anything about it. It doesn't appeal to me. It doesn't fit my eye. I don't really like artificial turf, period, frankly. Even the great stuff, I don't like it. I'm a grass guy. Does that sound right, Damien? I think so. but I don't like dome baseball. You just say, yeah, you know. And then here in the break in the Northern Kia Studios in my studio here, I didn't shut the door all the way, you know, because I don't usually shut the door all the way. And so the on-site assistant producer, the fuzzy domestic terrorist, comes wandering in. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, this is, you know, now I got to deal with this thing during the break. And I go out and I realize that the blueberry bread is uncovered. I wander down to the kitchen in the break. And so I've got to cover the blueberry bread because I don't want to suddenly get this, you know, the next thing I know, this cat's going to walk in. It's got a blueberry all over its face. My wife, by the way, Damien, my wife can flat cook.
Nice.
Oh, man.
That's why we married them.
Ah, man. See, I'm a really good cook. I'm actually a really good cook. I grew up in hotels when I was young. My dad was a hotel manager.
Oh,
for
nice.
Hilton.
Okay.
And so, and my dad didn't know it until much later in life, but I used to go down and hang around the kitchen, and they taught me how to do sous chefing, and they taught me how to do all the sauces. And so when I was like 14 or 15, I could make a Bernays and a Hollandaise, and I mean old school Hollandaise where you actually used all of it. I'm talking about, you know, anchovy and everything, which is old school Hollandaise, okay? And so I learned how to make a tomato and a white and all the mother sauces, et cetera, et cetera. So, because 90% of great cooking, and so once you learn to make the sauces and you perfect the sauces, then you know, you can kind of cover up the fact that you may have burnt something a little bit. So I can cook. Wife, though, she's even better than I am. Not only is she a great real estate agent, which, by the way, if anybody out there needs any real estate help, let me know, because the real estate maven can help you. And she's a great cook. You know, she was a great producer, an executive producer at Headline News. She's a great wife. It's like, I sometimes go, Day Day, what did I deserve to get this? And she's just like the sweetest person you've ever met in your entire life, on top of it. And she, for some reason, she likes me.
That's good stuff, man. You've been blessed, bro.
I have been blessed, which is why I offer to all of you young men and women who are thinking of getting married, or maybe you've just gotten married, my firm apologies, because the second one's the best. Anyway, let's get back to this. The most fun I've ever had in life was with her, okay? The most fun as a sports fan I've had in Atlanta Pro Sports is this team right now. Maybe not tonight, because tonight hasn't started off so great, but I don't know that I've ever had more fun watching a team. I've had a lot of fun. Mark Bradley of the AJC was on the show last night. Now, as I talk about this, obviously, if you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, you know, it's the kind of recency bias thing, and it's only how old you are, because you can't go back all the way to, well, John, you know, most of us can't go back to that team because we weren't alive. I understand that. And so, you know, you just limit it to what you know. So that's why the question that I'm going to ask here tonight, and we'll get into some of your calls about it a little bit later on, is what's the most fun you've ever had watching a professional sports team in Atlanta? Because I started thinking, Day-Day, you know, last year was pretty fun. They were hunting down the Mets, mm-hmm. right, to get to 101 wins. The year before was really fun from about mid-September on, right? I mean, that playoff run was really a lot of fun.
Yep.
It was, you know, and of course we can go to all those great teams in, you know, the 2010s. You can go back to the great teams in the late 90s, into the early 90s. And Mark Bradley said he thought that, now Mark's more my age, you know, in his early 60s, early to mid 60s. And he said the 91 Braves, because nobody expected the 91 Braves. There had been, in the late 80s, the Braves were horrifically bad. And I felt bad for Dale Murphy, because they had a team that had just the old castaways that had been stars in the past. It was like the senior league of baseball. And these guys had all been stars. And I don't know if Ted Turner was telling them, hey, listen, all these guys are star players, and they were star players when they were young. Okay, they're all like 50. And they had Ken Griffey Sr. and Gary Renicky and Ted Sizemore and Ken Obergfell and Ted, I don't know who the hell they had. And it was just all these old guys who 10 years, 12, 15 years before that had been all-stars. But now they're like 40 and they stink. But they have name value because he's Ken Griffey. Because before Ken Jr., that you all know, was his dad, and his dad was a great baseball player. And so, and they were just terrible. I mean, they were just awful. And they were really bad. And so, from 85, 86, it kept trending down. And 88 was really bad, and 89. And we just, everybody kind of quit on the Braves. I mean, you literally could get a ticket for a buck outside the stadium. There'd be 4,000 people. And it was like, eh. Because I don't even know what was worse. The late 70s, where we were really bad, or the late 80s, from 85 till about 1990. A period of about 6 years of nothing. I mean, baseball purgatory for America's team on top of that. And then 91 happens. Nobody expects anything. And the team caught fire. And so much fire, they made it to the World Series. And so Mark was talking about how suddenly everybody in town, and he's right, in 1991 said, oh, wow, maybe the Braves are good. Hey, the Braves are okay. Hey, the Braves are getting better. And it just kept, are we for real? In August, after the All-Star break, hey, we are. And then September came, and like, hey, we actually could we make the playoffs? And then when they made the run to the World Series, the town went bonkers. And that was, of course, the beginning. That was pre-Greg Maddux, but the beginning of the run. You know what I mean? The beginning of all of that great run of the Atlanta Braves from that point on, from 1991 to now, 20, going on 21 division titles, and granted only two World Series, but 21 division titles were all spoiled by the Atlanta Braves. So you have, you know, the great history of the Braves, the 96 championship team, the championship team, the World Series team a couple of years ago. You had a lot of fun back in 1982, if you're really old enough to remember it, when the Braves won 13 in a row to start the season. And they were 13-0, and that's what Tampa did this year, trying to break the Braves' record. They tied it, but didn't break it, for the best start in baseball history. Was it the 60-win Hawks team of a few years ago? Was it the Trey Hawks team that took Milwaukee into the NBA Eastern Conference Finals? That could have been a team. Was it the Super Bowl team? Was it either of the Super Bowl teams? I know what happened. I'm fully aware of what happened, okay? But we all know what happened. But the run was amazing, right? Up until 28-3, you know, up until that point, until you kicked off after going up 28-3, everything was roses. I mean, it was a hell of a lot of fun. So there's a lot to pick from. Maybe you're a fan of Atlanta United in that cup run. The championship game against Portland was a gas to be at. And that's the only, by the way, it's the only time. Now, my daughter works for Atlanta United, okay? And so Danny was at the game with us, and that night was so cold and rainy and nasty. But I got the Maven to go to the game because I got tickets to the championship game. It's the only time in her life she's ever been to a soccer game. Day-Day, her record is, say, Tammy, have you ever been to a soccer game? Yes. What's your record? 1-0. Oh, really? Anything important? Yeah, they won the championship.
They won the cup. Right, the one that counts.
Only game she's ever been to. They win the cup.
Nice.
So I'm trying to drag her to another one if I can get her to go. Not that she's opposed. She's just like, you know, she didn't grow up with it. She's like, I don't know the rules. I'm like, I always let people say, I don't know the rules. You mean kickball, knock it in net, score goal? Is it that tough to figure out? you know? But I don't know what a corner is. Well, a corner is when it goes across. Oh, it's not that hard to explain. If you just listen, you'll get, it's not that hard. There's a throw line. There's a kick line. It's not that difficult. Well, I don't understand offsides. Well, nobody does, so don't worry about it. They raise the flag, it's no good. If they leave the flag down, you're good. So don't worry about that. Nobody knows what the hell offsides is anyway. So you're good. What's a yellow? Don't worry about that either. Nobody knows what the hell that is either.
Just come and cheer.
Just come and cheer. And if they knock it in the net, go, hey, they scored. You know, do your best Mike Connie. All right. What is the most fun that you've had, Day-Day, watching a professional Atlanta sports team?
Not necessarily in person, but I was...
No, just in general.
Yeah, yeah. So for me... Yeah,
over the course of time.
It was the... honestly, it was the Hawks throughout the mid to late 80s, Dominique days, and the battles with Bird, and just... I just love... Dominique, growing up for me, Dominique was my favorite basketball player. And so, and the Hawks, I mean, back then, I mean, you know, and I hate to sound like the old guy, but it just seems like back then the almost every team was somewhat relevant, you know, in each conference. And just back then, the Eastern Conference was just, I mean, the Hawks just were always just in the mix. And it was just, like I said, that 85, 86, 87, like all through, you know, 88, all through there, man. I just really loved watching the Hawks play basketball back then.
Yeah, I loved that team too. I mean, that was my favorite Hawks team of all time, you know. And again, fortunate enough to have been at most of the games at the Omni. To watch, you know, Dominique and Doc and, you know, Livingston and Carr coming off the bench. And, you know, that was such a great team. And Randy Whitman and all those guys. And I later became friends with Scott Hastings. And
nice.
So, you know, I mean, that was later in life. But, no, they were a lot of fun to watch. No doubt about it. And so, you know, the most fun you've had as an Atlanta pro sports fan and watching a team. You know, it could be an era, like Dede said, and we'll talk about this with you. It could be an individual season. I'm not really looking for an individual moment. I'm just saying it's got to be more than just a moment. You know, I'm Sid Bream. Nothing for me will ever top Sid Bream, okay? I mean, the fact that I was there and standing over him at home plate probably cements that, but nothing will top Sid Bream for me in 92 because it was so improbable. To you know, it was every, you know, lore that you played in the backyard, you know, two out, bottom of the ninth, you know, down a run, game seven, you know, that kind of thing. So, but this team this year, watching the first half of the season and just laughing every time that they would go out and every single game and just bomb away and bomb away and bomb away. I think the only thing that I thought was, you know, I was going, have ever had this much fun? I think in the second half of the season, where the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, where they turned the Jets on and were unstoppable. There was a play in the Seattle playoff game at the Georgia Dome where Eric Weems let a punt go over his head, and the ball hit inside the 10 and rolled out of bounds at the 1. He could have caught it at about the 12 or the 15, and I was like, we're all screaming, why didn't you catch the punt? It rolled out at the 1. And we were all mad, and we're screaming at the television, you let it roll out of the 1, you big dummy, what are you doing? And... here comes Matt Ryan trotting on the field, and I said, stop, stop, stop. I said, it doesn't matter. It went out at the one. These guys, you know what? This is going to be pass, pass, run, pass, pass, touchdown. And sure enough, it was like run, pass, 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 run, pass, touchdown. It's like 99 yards, not a problem. That team was just an unstoppable force in the second half and run of the Super Bowl. I still don't know how we didn't win that game. What is the most fun? That we'll be talking about that in the next hour. First up, though, we're going to welcome DeShaun Tate into the show. He is our Hawks and NBA expert. I want to ask him about this whole DeJounte Murray thing, and what does he make of what the Hawks might or might not do next? It's John Fricke live on a Friday night on Sports Radio 92 on the Game in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you as we continue to monitor what's going on in the NBA and the big news that happened for the Atlanta Hawks this week with the announcement that DeJounte Murray had a new four-year, $120 million contract in his back pocket, and the reaction to that and what it all means. And for that, we turn to the man who knows the Hawks better than anybody that I know, and that is DeShaun Tate. He is our Atlanta Hawks expert and, of course, the podcaster and the basketball wizard that he is, and he's on with me right now. Hey, DeShaun.
Hey, good evening, Fricky. I appreciate you for having me on. Your words far too kind, but just kicking back right now, man, with the six-month-old, watching a little summer league. Let me tell you something. Scoot Henderson, I know people in this market, of course, they know already, being from here at Kell High School, but he's the real deal, man. He's as good as advertised.
Yeah, well, you know, that's good. I mean, we'll see what, you know, the Atlanta Hawks have, you know, in terms of, you know, their summer league action as we kind of go work through summer league and get to, you know, the impact of some of the younger players on this team. And I can get to that a little bit later in the interview, but let's begin with a big headline here. That it dropped on Thursday night at 6:20, I thought was kind of interesting. I wasn't expecting a multi-year deal for DeJounte Murray. I guess I was thinking that maybe, well, he's got a year left on his contract, and they'll either A, trade him, or B, they'll let him play into the season to see if this whole DeJounte Murray trade thing works under Quinn Snyder. And if it doesn't, then by the trade deadline, you can kind of move him. But apparently, they decided that they wanted to keep him, and they gave him 4 years and $120 million in a veteran maximum deal. They even gave him a player option, DeShaun.
Yeah, I think it was a smart idea for the Hawks. And let me tell you something. I mean, it was something that was needed. It was something that was necessary. I mean, since Trey has been here and has put his stamp on this league and obviously on this franchise, on this organization, you know, there's been a lot of conversations about needing help. I'm not sure that any of the guys that they've brought in over the course of the last 4 or 5 years since Trey had been here, that you would quantify anyone as much as you would DeJounte Murray as that help for Trae Young. And obviously we know about the unfortunate set of circumstances this year. Things didn't go the way that they really had wanted it to. But when you start talking about a guy who's just as good off the ball defensively as he is on the ball, which everybody knows that he's a great offensive player as well, talking about DeJounte Murray, giving these two guys a fair chance at coexisting with one another, developing and establishing that chemistry in the backcourt and all those good things. And, you know, obviously when you have the kind of year that they had and then you pair that with the coaching change, you didn't really get what you thought that you might have. And giving him a chance now at a new deal, extending him, now going to see him in a Hawks uniform extensively now, I think was the right move and the even more important, smarter move for the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, I will say this, in the reaction that we got from DeJounte Murray and the reaction that we later got from Trae Young, they both seem excited about this. So, okay, that's good. Now we have to see how this is going to kind of work and how Quinn Snyder is going to tweak this. DeShaun, one of the things that Trae Young had said postseason was that Quinn Snyder had told him he wanted to go, he wanted Trae to go back to being and really working on and becoming a real three-point threat. We had talked about how we had lost kind of logo Trae, and I think he wants to bring that back. Is there some thought of letting DeJounte run point and letting Trae become more of an off-ball guy?
I don't know. I think that there should be. If you want to win, you got to be able to make adjustments. You know, Trae, one thing that, you know, we can all attest to is prior to DeJounte getting here, the last thing that we had saw was Trae Young up against the Miami Heat, where they paired so many different types of defenders, you know, bulkier defenders, lengthier defenders, taller defenders, more aggressive defenders, and so many different things. And you threw that all at Trae, and it gives them a little bit of an option to do some different things. I mean, hey, you look at Golden State, by far not trying to compare number 11 to number 30, but you have a lot of instances where we see, you know, Draymond Green being that orchestrator of the offense, that, you know, traffic light instructor or that director, if you will, where you do see Steph have that opportunity to come off screens and do some different things. And I think that that's beneficial to give Trae an opportunity to not just be have so much primary priority on the ball all the time, 24/7. And I think it's a good look just to be able to switch it up every now and then, give the offense a little bit of a different look, give Trae a little bit of a different look as well. And by that way, you're improving both of these guys' games by giving them different looks in the process.
All right, so that's great. DeShaun Tate, our Hawks basketball expert with John Fricke. That's great. But now here in the offseason, you've managed to unload the contract of John Collins and, of course, John Collins, and you extended a guy that was already under contract. You gave him a new deal. That's pretty much it. I mean, there was one other minor little trade that doesn't amount to much of anything. They haven't done anything. Are they going to do anything? Other teams seem to still be trading, and are the Hawks going to do anything, DeShaun Tate?
I would imagine that they would. How big is that move going to be? I don't know that answer. I know that there's been a lot of different rumors at one point in time, maybe taking a look at someone like a Grant Williams. Obviously, he's off the board now as he's a Maverick, but, you know, the elephant in the room, I guess, nowadays is Pascal Siakam. Now, in terms of what you got to give up, maybe that's the question. I'm not sure that that's the answers to everything that's gone on with the Atlanta Hawks in terms of, you know, us being able to see them contend again the way that they did a few years ago. But, you know, I do think that a move will be made. How significant of a move, I don't know. I don't think it has to be this big star or this big-name player. It has to be the right fit, number one, and hopefully somebody that can provide a little bit of edge, a little bit of maturity, some winning pedigree or winning resume to some degree. Obviously, Siakam has that. I understand that. But a little bit of edginess, a guy that's in the locker room that can, you know, bring some maturity and bring some experience and be a no-nonsense guy and somebody who just wants to win and can bring the levels of the other guys up in the locker room who are still a little young. I mean, this isn't the young Atlanta Hawks anymore. Remember, a couple of years ago, we were talking about the young Atlanta. Expectations are coming with this now. It'd be nice to see them still be able to grow under bringing in another player that could help develop some things off of the floor in addition to on it.
If their plan was to just kind of do a rotating start thing, more or less, where you would have Clint Capella and DeAndre Hunter, and then, of course, the backcourt of DeJounte and Trey, and on the other side, you either went with a, you know, at times maybe you put Okongwu in with Capella to have a double low post presence, or at times you went with Sadiq Bey to have the three-point and the toughness, or at times you went with Bogdan Bogdanovic, and what you did was you did Bogey out there, and you're just going to fire away and launch threes all day. And Quinn Snyder has said he wants to shoot a lot of threes, and maybe they'd lead the league in threes, I guess. The only problem I see with that, I mean, it's fine if you want to do that, but the main problem is when you start talking about Okongwu, Bey, and Bogey as being primary players, which is fine again, is that you say those guys are also the bench. So yeah. What's left on the bench?
Yeah, and I thought that was one of the bigger things. That's what me and Caleb Johnson would always talk about on our podcast was, you know, the improvement to the bench that I think this team has to have. And to me, I think that's a bigger priority than bringing in a big star name player that can help come and contribute to this team. We're just being completely transparent about it. You know, these Holiday brothers and this and that stuff sounds great and defensive-minded players and everything else, but reality is that's just not going to cut it with a pair of scissors. You've got to be able to bring in some guys that are, you know, going to mix it up and, you know, not be one-dimensional. You know, some guys that are going to be willing to do all the little things, do all the dirty work, play some defense. Where's the Ivan Johnson guy that we used to have in this town, willing to muck it up and do every little thing that it took in order to win basketball?
Solomon Hill. Let's go to Solomon Hill.
Agreed. And who was a leader in this locker room and helped bring Trey up amongst a couple other players. So I agree with you as far as from a bench standpoint as well. And then the other thing is now that you don't have the John Collins, you had a rim protector in John Collins, but you don't nearly have what I think enough serviceable bigs. You know, the Kaminsky thing obviously kind of showed exactly what it was going to be. So you got to bring in some other guys that I think can provide some help because you're talking about Okongwu and Capella now, which already isn't enough offense as is. But, of course, you could put Sadiq Bey situational into that position, but there's just really not enough bench and or front court. That's the next thing to address for this team.
You know, it's so interesting. You're a Big Ten fan. I'm a Big Ten fan. We both watched Frank Kaminsky at Wisconsin and Bruno Fernandez at Maryland, and both of us, at least I thought, both were going to be really good pro players because they were so good in the Big Ten, and they came in and they just became kind of guys, I guess. Don't really know what happened to them.
Now we got a chance to watch another Big Ten player who was the number 15 pick in this NBA draft. We're going to get a chance to hope Hawks fans are watching Summer League tonight. I think it's a what? a 9:30 or a 10:30 tonight. Kings and Hawks on this evening, and getting a chance to see one of those Wolverines go out there and trying to see if he can do some things. And so I'm excited to see, you know, what the Hawks are going to look like. Maybe not necessarily the names on the roster that may stick out to a lot of people, but just looking at some of the little things. And try not to put too much emphasis and stock on Summer League. I know a lot of people tend to do that. What game you're watching, what player you're watching tonight, number one player or number 15 pick, don't put too much emphasis on it. Just sit back and enjoy, and let's come together as Hawks fans and, you know, just kind of, do what we do. Evaluate this game, but just try not to put too much into it.
All right, we will certainly get more into, let's see what the Hawks do in the remainder of this offseason as they head towards, which isn't very far away. You'd be surprised how quick this is going to come. And, of course, that'll lead us to college basketball. But I want to jump to another topic with you, Deshaun, in the final couple of minutes we have.
Sure.
Just to prep the fans out there, the NBA is talking again about, and it sounds like it's actually the massive change to their schedule next year. Not this season, but the following season, where they're going to go from season games to 72 and institute this new NBA Cup, which is the in-season tournament that will culminate in a Final Four in Las Vegas in December. Understand that with this cup, everybody's going to be involved initially in this NBA Cup. For all the fans out there, I'm talking to the fans that are listening, Deshaun. You could actually be playing the Detroit Pistons, I'll just pick a team, in Detroit in a regular season game, and two nights later you're down in Atlanta playing the Detroit Pistons, but it's not a regular season game. No, it's an opening round game of the NBA Cup. And you're going to go, wait a second, what? It's going to be a different tournament in the season that won't count towards the regular season standings. I guess we'll all get used to it, but it sounds like from Adam Silver, this is going to happen, Deshaun.
Yeah, a little odd, a little awkward, especially with the timing. We're just now still in the, you know, developing learning process and getting comfortable with the play-in games alone, let alone trying to add something else. I'm not sure it was the brightest idea or what they're trying to keep up with or whatever the case may be. Still got to do a little bit more reading up on it, learning how some of it works. I don't want to come on here and give you, you know, play radio type answer, but you know, I think to implement something this early, or this, not even this early, but just this close to what we're already still trying to get comfortable with as fans of them, is going to be a difficult, you know, pill to swallow a little bit, and just something else to kind of keep up with and learn how it works and everything else. I'm not sure that I could have saw this coming, you know, before they changed the ages to, you know, guys being able to enter the NBA draft per se. But nonetheless, right, it looks like it's about to happen. It looks like it's pretty much just about here. If not, before you blink your eyes and say happy birthday, it'll be here before you know it. Just something else to get through. So just much me, just much like you and everybody else maybe that's listening. It's just time to just accept things the way that they are. It's just totally different, much like regular everyday lives ourselves after COVID. Just something else to get used to, I guess.
Right. Deshaun, it's always a pleasure. Where can the fans find you, Deshaun?
At Tate's Take Hoops. I'm going to be tweeting out a whole bunch of stuff. I'm a little upset, freaky, that I'm not at in Vegas like I should be for Summer League. But nonetheless, I'll be watching every single game, tweeting things out at Tate's Take Hoops. TateStakeHoops, per usual, where basketball lives. Thanks, Fricky.
As always, Deshaun Tate, our basketball and Hawks expert on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you as we continue to monitor what's going on in the NBA and the big news that happened for the Atlanta Hawks this week with the announcement that DeJounte Murray had a new four-year, $120 million contract in his back pocket and the reaction to that and what it all means. And for that, we turn to the man who knows the Hawks better than anybody that I know, and that is DeShawn Tate. He is our Atlanta Hawks expert and, of course, the podcaster and the basketball wizard that he is, and he's on with me right now. Hey, DeShawn.
Hey, good evening, Fricky. I appreciate you for having me on. Your words far too kind, but just kicking back right now, man, with the six-month-old, watching a little summer league. Let me tell you something. Scoot Henderson, I know people in this market, of course, they know already, being from here at Kell High School, but he's the real deal, man. He's as good as advertised.
Yeah, well, you know, that's good. I mean, we'll see what, you know, the Atlanta Hawks have, you know, in terms of, you know, their summer league action as we kind of go work through summer league and get to, you know, the impact of some of the younger players on this team. And I can get to that a little bit later in the interview, but let's begin with a big headline here. That it dropped on Thursday night at 6:20, I thought was kind of interesting. I wasn't expecting a multi-year deal for DeJounte Murray. I guess I was thinking that maybe, well, he's got a year left on his contract, and they'll either A, trade him, or B, they'll let him play into the season to see if this whole DeJounte Murray trade thing works under Quinn Snyder. And if it doesn't, then by the trade deadline, you can kind of move him. But apparently, they decided that they wanted to keep him, and they gave him 4 years and $120 million in a veteran maximum deal. They even gave him a player option, DeShawn.
Yeah, I think it was a smart idea for the Hawks. And let me tell you something. I mean, it was something that was needed. It was something that was necessary. I mean, since Trey has been here and has put his stamp on this league and obviously on this franchise, on this organization, you know, there's been a lot of conversations about needing help. I'm not sure that any of the guys that they've brought in over the course of the last 4 or 5 years since Trey had been here, that you would quantify anyone as much as you would DeJounte Murray as that help for Trey Young. And obviously we know about the unfortunate set of circumstances this year. Things didn't go the way that they really had wanted it to. But when you start talking about a guy who's just as good off the ball defensively as he is on the ball, which everybody knows that he's a great offensive player as well, talking about DeJounte Murray, giving these two guys a fair chance at coexisting with one another, developing and establishing that chemistry in the backcourt and all those good things. And, you know, obviously when you have the kind of year that they had and then you pair that with the coaching change, you didn't really get what you, you know, what you thought that you might have, and giving him a chance now at a new deal, extending him, now going to see him in a Hawks uniform extensively now, I think was the right move and the even more important, smarter move for the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, I will say this, in the reaction that we got from DeJounte Murray and the reaction that we later got from Trae Young, they both seem excited about this. So, okay, that's good. Now we have to see how this is going to kind of work and how Quinn Snyder is going to tweak this. Deshaun, one of the things that Trae Young had said postseason was that Quinn Snyder had told him he wanted to go, he wanted Trae to go back to being and really working on and becoming a real three-point threat. We had talked about how we had lost kind of logo Trae, and I think he wants to bring that back. Is there some thought of letting DeJounte run point and letting Trae become more of an off-ball guy?
I don't know. I think that there should be. If you want to win, you got to be able to make adjustments. You know, Trae, one thing that, you know, we can all attest to is prior to DeJounte getting here, the last thing that we had saw was Trae Young up against the Miami Heat, where they paired so many different types of defenders, you know, bulkier defenders, lengthier defenders, taller defenders, more aggressive defenders, and so many different things. And you threw that all at Trae, and it gives them a little bit of an option to do some different things. I mean, hey, you look at Golden State, by far not trying to compare number 11 to number 30, but you have a lot of instances where we see, you know, Draymond Green being that orchestrator of the offense, that, you know, traffic light instructor or that director, if you will, where you do see Steph have that opportunity to come off screens and do some different things. And I think that that's beneficial to give Trae an opportunity to not just be, have so much priority on the ball. All the time, 24/7. And I think it's a good look just to be able to switch it up every now and then, give the offense a little bit of a different look, give Trae a little bit of a different look as well. And by that way, you're improving both of these guys' games by giving them different looks in the process.
All right, so that's great. Deshaun Tate, our Hawks and basketball expert with John Fricke. That's great. But now here in the offseason, you've managed to unload the contract of John Collins and, of course, John Collins. And you extended a guy that was already under contract. You gave him a new deal. That's pretty much it. I mean, there was one other minor little trade that doesn't amount to much of anything. They haven't done anything. Are they going to do anything? Other teams seem to still be trading. And are the Hawks going to do anything, Deshaun Tate?
I would imagine that they would. How big is that move going to be? I don't know that answer. I know that there's been a lot of different rumors at one point in time, maybe taking a look at someone like a Grant Williams. Obviously, he's off the board now as he's a Maverick. But, you know, the elephant in the room, I guess, nowadays is Pascal Siakam. Now, in terms of what you got to give up, maybe that's the question. I'm not sure that that's the answers to everything that's gone on with the Atlanta Hawks in terms of, you know, us being able to see them contend again the way that they did a few years ago. But, you know, I do think that a move will be made. How significant of a move, I don't know. I don't think it has to be this big star or this big name player. It has to be the right fit, number one, and hopefully somebody that can provide a little bit of edge, a little bit of maturity, some winning pedigree or winning resume to some degree. Obviously, Siakam has that. I understand that. But a little bit of edginess, a guy that's in the locker room that can, you know, bring some maturity and bring some experience and be a no-nonsense guy and somebody who just wants to win and can bring the levels of the other guys up in the locker room who are still a little young. I mean, this isn't the young Atlanta Hawks anymore. Remember, a couple of years ago, we were talking about the young Atlanta. Expectations are coming with this now. It'd be nice to see them still be able to grow under bringing in another player that could help develop some things off of the floor in addition to on it.
If their plan was to just kind of do a rotating start thing, more or less, where you would have Clint Capella and DeAndre Hunter, and then, of course, the backcourt of DeJounte and Trae, and on the other side, you either went with a, you know, at times maybe you put Okongwu in with Capella to have a double low post presence, or at times you went with Sadiq Bey to have the 3-point and the toughness, or at times you went with Bogdan Bogdanovic. What you did was you did bogey out there, and you're just going to fire away and launch threes all day. And Quinn Snyder has said he wants to shoot a lot of threes, and maybe they'd lead the league in threes, I guess. The only problem I see with that, I mean, it's fine if you want to do that, but the main problem is when you start talking about Okongwu-Bey and Bogey as being primary players, which is fine again, is that you say those guys are also the bench. So yeah. What's left on the bench?
Yeah, and I thought that was one of the bigger things. That's what me and Caleb Johnson would always talk about on our podcast was, you know, the improvement to the bench that I think this team has to have. And to me, I think that's a bigger priority than bringing in a big star name player that can help come and contribute to this team. We're just being completely transparent about it. You know, these Condade brothers and this and that, that stuff sounds great and defensive-minded players and everything else, but reality is that's just not going to cut it with a pair of scissors. You've got to be able to bring in some guys that are, you know, going to mix it up and, you know, not be one-dimensional. You know, some guys that are going to be willing to do all the little things, do all the dirty work, play some defense. Where's the Ivan Johnson guy that we used to have in this town, willing to muck it up and do every little thing that it took in order to win basketball
Solomon Hill. Let's go to Solomon Hill.
Agreed. And who was a leader in this locker room and helped bring Trey up amongst a couple other players. So I agree with you as far as from a bench standpoint as well. And then the other thing is now that you don't have the John Collins, you had a rim protector in John Collins, but you don't nearly have what I think enough serviceable big. The Kaminsky thing obviously kind of showed exactly what it was going to be. So you got to bring in some other guys that I think can provide some help because you're talking about Okongwu and Capella now, which already isn't enough offense as is. But, of course, you could put Sadiq Bey situational into that position, but there's just really not enough bench and or front court. That's the next thing to address for this team.
You know, it's so interesting. You're a Big Ten fan. I'm a Big Ten fan. We both watched Frank Kaminsky at Wisconsin and Bruno Fernanda at Maryland, and both of us, at least I thought, both were going to be really good pro players because they were so good in the Big Ten, and they came in and they just became kind of guys, I guess. Don't really know what happened to them.
Now we got a chance to watch another Big Ten player who was the number 15 pick in this NBA draft. We're going to get a chance to hope Hawks fans are watching Summer League tonight. I think it's a 9:30 or a 10:30 tonight. Kings and Hawks on this evening, and getting a chance to see one of those Wolverines go out there and trying to see if he can do some things. And so I'm excited to see, you know, what the Hawks are going to look like. Maybe not necessarily the names on the roster that may stick out to a lot of people, but just looking at some of the little things and try not to put too much emphasis and stock on Summer League. I know a lot of people tend to do that. What game you're watching, what player you're watching tonight, number one player or number 15 pick, don't put too much emphasis on it. Just sit back and enjoy and let's come together as Hawks fans and, you know, just kind of, do what we do. Evaluate this game, but just try not to put too much into it.
All right, we'll certainly get more into, let's see what the Hawks do in the remainder of this offseason as they head towards, which isn't very far away. You'd be surprised how quick this is going to come. And, of course, that'll lead us to college basketball. But I want to jump to another topic with you, Deshaun, in the final couple of minutes we have.
Sure.
Just to prep the fans out there, the NBA is talking again about, and it sounds like it's actually the massive change to their schedule next year. Not this season, but the following season, where they're going to go from season games to 72 and institute this new NBA Cup, which is the in-season tournament that will culminate in a Final Four in Las Vegas in December. Understand that with this cup, everybody's going to be involved initially in this NBA Cup. For all the fans out there, I'm talking to the fans that are listening, Deshaun. You could actually be playing the Detroit Pistons, I'll just pick a team, in Detroit in a regular season game, and two nights later you're down in Atlanta playing the Detroit Pistons, but it's not a regular season game. No, it's an opening round game of the NBA Cup. And you're going to go, wait a second, what? It's going to be a different tournament in the season that won't count towards the regular season standings. I guess we'll all get used to it, but it sounds like from Adam Silver, this is going to happen, Deshaun.
Yeah, a little odd, a little awkward, especially with the timing. We're just now still in the, you know, developing learning process and getting comfortable with the play-in games alone, let alone trying to add something else. I'm not sure it was the brightest idea or what they're trying to keep up with or whatever the case may be. Still got to do a little bit more reading up on it, learning how some of it works. I don't want to come on here and give you, you know, play radio type answer, but, you know, I think to implement something this early, or this, not even this early, but just this close to what we're already still trying to get comfortable with as fans of them is going to be a difficult, you know, pill to swallow a little bit, and just something else to kind of keep up with and learn how it works and everything else. I'm not sure that I could have saw this coming, you know, before they changed the ages to, you know, guys being able to enter the NBA draft per se, but nonetheless, right. It looks like it's about to happen. It looks like it's pretty much just about here. If not, before you blink your eyes and say happy birthday, it'll be here before you know it. Just something else to get through. So just much me, just much like you and everybody else, maybe that's listening. It's just time to just accept things the way that they are. It's just totally different, much like regular everyday lives ourselves after COVID. Just something else to get used to, I guess.
Right. Deshaun, it's always a pleasure. Where can the fans find you, Deshaun?
At Tate's Take Hoops. I'm going to be tweeting out a whole bunch of stuff. I'm a little upset, freaky, that I'm not at in Vegas like I should be for Summer League. But nonetheless, I'll be watching every single game, tweeting things out at Tate's Take Hoops, TateStakeHoops, per usual, where basketball lives. Thanks, freaky.
As always, Deshaun Tate, our basketball and Hawks expert on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.